It was early in the morning, still dark, the dawn just starting to cut through the fog. The air hung heavy with expectation, as if the earth itself were holding its breath. The echoes of the cross linger. His voice still rings out. It is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. The story comes to us in pieces and fragments, hints and images. A vineyard garden, grapes ready for the harvest, a stone rolled away, the guards asleep at its side, a pile of clothes folded in an empty tomb. Peter and John running in with disbelief, walking out with questions and with hope. But Mary stays behind to weep in the garden, and we weep with her. There is so much loss, so much grief, so much death. With her, we look up, and through her tears, we see angels seated in victory on top of the stone. Do not be afraid, they tell us. He is not here. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. From the garden, she hears a voice. Why are you weeping? Whom do you seek? She still cannot see. The sun is rising. She is muttering with explanations, but Mary's heart starts beating with tremors of hope. Whom do you seek? He is not here. And like a voice from heaven, she hears that voice, the voice she is longing for. The gardener speaks her name. Mary. Jesus looks at you, and Jesus speaks your name. The world is new as he speaks your name. You are made new as he speaks your name. What the angel said was true, and it is true today. Jesus is alive. Jesus walks. His heart beats in victory. Easter is announced by every breath he takes. Easter means that love has won. Death is finished. Satan is doomed. Evil is conquered. God is good. Love's redeeming work is done. It is finished. It is finished. He is not dead. He is alive.
Humble King who never steal away at night when they took down your body. With love and tears to leave you in a borrowed grave. To go with Mary to that place they
Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, welcome to this Easter service. The Lord is risen and we rise with him. Welcome to worship. Let us sing and pray and hear the word. Enjoy. The Lord of light and life has defeated death, has come forth from the tomb, is alive and with us. As we light the Christ candle, we give thanks and praise to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God of power, God of people, you are the life of all that lives, energy that fills the earth, vitality that brings to birth, impetus in making whole whatever is bruised or broken. In you we grow to know the truth that sets all creation free. You are the song the whole earth sings, the promise liberation brings, now and forever. Jesus, blessed Savior, hear the song of our hearts as they tell of your glory. Amen.
Today, on Easter Sunday, we do things a little different in our order of service. We do not say a prayer of confession on Easter Sunday. We do not have an assurance of grace because we have the assurance of God's unending grace embodied in the risen Christ. And so to mark that difference, instead of confessing perhaps the ways we've wandered or sinned, we actually confess our faith. We say an affirmation of faith on Easter Sunday. So will you join me now in doing that? The risen Christ lives today, present to us and the source of our hope. In response to who Jesus was and to all he did and taught, to his life, death, and resurrection, and to his continuing presence with us through the Spirit, we celebrate him as the Word made flesh, the one in whom God and humanity are perfectly joined, the transformation of our lives, the Christ.
I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 11, from the Good News Translation. The Resurrection of Christ. And now I want to remind you, my friends, of the good news which I preached to you, which you received, and on which your faith stands firm. That is the gospel, the message that I preach to you. You are saved by the gospel if you hold firmly to it, unless it was for nothing that you believed. I passed on to you what I received, which is of the greatest importance, that Christ died for our sins, as written in the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised to life 3 days later, as written in the Scriptures, that he appeared to Peter and then to all 12 apostles. Then he appeared to more than 500 of his followers at once, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. Then he appeared to James, and afterwards to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared also to me, even though I am like someone whose birth was abnormal. For I am the least of all the apostles. I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted God's church. But by God's grace, I am what I am, and the grace that he gave me was not without effect. On the contrary, I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, although it was not really my own doing, but God's grace working with me. So then, whether it came from me or from them, this is what we all preach, and this is what you believe. Here ends the reading of God's word. May it bless everyone.
You might be wondering why I chose this passage from 1 Corinthians for our reading today. Perhaps you're even wishing that I hadn't picked it and instead had us listening to one of those wonderful stories of the risen Christ appearing to his disciples. They are great stories, and I really encourage you to give one or two of them a read on your own later. But for now, today, together, we have this wisdom from Paul for us to reflect upon. Paul is writing this letter to the church that he had founded in the Greek city of Corinth, a church that was having some not insignificant struggles. As he approached the end of this long letter, Paul turned to the contentious topic of resurrection. Apparently, there were some disputes among the Corinthians about both the nature of resurrection and about the possibility of it. So here in this part of the letter, he begins to address the entire topic by reminding them of the gospel that he had shared with them, the good news that Jesus had died for our sins, was buried and then raised to life on the third day, appearing to Peter and his disciples, to a crowd of more than 500 people, to his brother James, and then finally, of course, to Paul himself. Paul reminded the Corinthians that that is what they believed. He was very clearly saying that Jesus' death and resurrection are the heart of the good news that God has given the world. They are the events on which we take our stand, the foundation for our faith and our confidence. For as Paul urges just a little later on in this same chapter, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless and so is our faith. Friends, Easter is such a big deal because this faith we hold all quite literally hinges on the fact that Jesus died and then rose again. Now, some of us might be gifted with the ability to just take that at face value. And if that's you, oh, how blessed you are. But others of us, myself included, are a bit like little kids who, when their parent tells them something, can't help but ask, why? We can't just take things at face value. We can't take this at face value. We need to know why. In this case, why does the resurrection matter so much? To the point that without it, the Christian faith apparently becomes an exercise in futility. Well, this morning, my hope is that whether you are a person who asks why or not, a little exploration of why the resurrection is so important might not only bolster your faith, but maybe even expand it. So to begin that exploration, we need to pick up right where we left off on Good Friday. If you were with us for the Good Friday service, you may remember the message from that sermon, or maybe not, but not to worry. I'm about to sum it up for you. Jesus' mission was to lead us to the life that humankind was created for. It is a life that is shaped by selfless, giving love. It is a life that is full of goodness, free from death and sickness in all of its forms, and eternal. Jesus' mission was to both model this life for us and to make it a reality. And he accomplished both of those things throughout his life and particularly through his death. And in so doing, he has made it possible for us to finally be able to begin to experience that life ourselves. Now, Jesus' first followers really hoped that they had found that life with him, but those hopes were crushed when he was crucified. It wasn't until that third day that they realized that it hadn't all been just a pipe dream. It truly was happening after all. Jesus had made that life possible, and astoundingly, even death hadn't been able to get in the way of it. That's why after he rose, his disciples changed so dramatically and so quickly from being frightened failures who were hiding away to boldly going out to tell anyone who would listen about Jesus' life, about his death, and most wonderfully, about his resurrection. When he rose on that third day, they knew that everything had changed, and they began to realize exactly what those changes meant. Jesus' first followers really knew the promises God has made to us all. Promises that, whether we're aware of it or not, continue to shape pretty much everything. God has clearly said that this whole project that we call life here on earth is actually moving towards a very specific goal. God is in the process of renewing and restoring creation and the life that we know as a part of it, so that it will all finally be all that God originally designed it to be. We call this project the new creation. And humans will get to live as part of that new creation life, enjoying each other and the rest of creation fully, enjoying a full and uninhibited relationship, friendship with God, in much the same way that we get a little glimpse of in those stories from Genesis of life in the garden. The new creation will be like that, only better, much better. Now, there is a very important thing about this life that we have to look forward to. And it is the thing that the Corinthians seem to be struggling with. It's also something that I suspect many of us struggle with. Despite what we so often seem to think, that new creation life that we are promised, it is not only going to be spiritual, it's actually going to be physical. Remember, the risen Christ had a physical body, and because he did, we believe that we also will get to have transformed physical bodies, bodies that are something like our bodies now, only different, just like Jesus was. Different and imperishable. We are not going away somewhere else to some other spiritual realm to experience that heavenly eternal life with God that we're promised, simply because heaven isn't going to be someplace else. Heaven is coming to earth. This is what God's always promised, a place where we will live free of all that is not good and not of God, including death. A place where we will be able to experience the pure joy and delight of life with God and life with each other. That's what heaven will be like. And Scripture tells us that in some way that is going to happen here. That this is what God is and always has been planning. When Jesus walked from his tomb, he became the first person to live that physical, embodied, heaven on earth life. And his disciples realized that as soon as they recognized him. That's what all the excitement was about. Because Jesus was alive, they had physical proof that God was on the move and that that new creation life had begun to become a reality. So you see, Jesus' resurrection isn't just a big deal because seeing a man who died come to life again is incredible, which it obviously is. Jesus' resurrection is a big deal because, at the risk of oversimplifying things, it doesn't just mean that he was able to live again beyond death. It means that we will all be able to do that. One day, all of us who follow Jesus will rise as well. And we will get to live entirely and fully in that wonderful heaven on earth life that God has promised. And just like Jesus' first followers got glimpses of that life when he would appear to them over the next few weeks after his resurrection, we too get glimpses of that life. Every time we have the sense of the Spirit of Christ moving within us and around us, God gives us little tastes of that heavenly life now. Nibbles that stir us to seek more of it and stir us to learn to live more fully in the way of that life, the way that Jesus teaches us. Friends, as Paul was reminding his friends in Corinth, the promise of this life is why it is so vital for us to believe that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and then raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to his followers and many others. Because when all of that happened, it showed that God's new creation was underway. And that promise is the source of our hope, our strength, our joy, and our peace. That is the gospel we have received. It is the gospel we get to share. And so that's why today, and really every day, we hold firmly to the truth that he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.
Good morning, my friends, on this glorious Sunday of Easter. Christ has risen. Alleluia. My quote for this special Sunday comes from Peter Marshall. The stone was rolled away from the door, not to let Christ out, but to let the disciples in. Please join me in our Easter prayers of the people. For renewal of faith, gracious God, on this Easter Sunday, we come before you seeking renewal and revival of our faith. Open our hearts to the wondrous truth of Christ's resurrection, that we may live each day with hope and courage. Empower us to share the joy of Easter with others and to be faithful witnesses to your love. For healing and comfort, merciful God, we lift up to you all those who are in need of healing and comfort this Easter. Bring your healing touch to the sick, the grieving, and the brokenhearted. Grant them strength and peace, knowing that Christ's victory over death offers hope and consolation to all who believe. For peace and reconciliation, God of peace, we pray for an end to the violence and conflict in our world. May the message of Easter inspire us to work for reconciliation and understanding among nations and peoples. Help us to embody the peace that Christ brings, seeking justice and harmony in all our relationships. For the church and its mission, Holy Spirit, guide and empower your church as we proclaim the good news of Easter to the world. Inspire us to be bold witnesses to the resurrection, sharing the message of salvation with compassion and conviction. Strengthen our faith and unity, that we may fulfill our mission to make disciples of all nations. For the earth and its stewardship, Creator God, we thank you for the beauty and abundance of your creation. Help us to be faithful stewards of the earth, caring for the environment and all living creatures. May the hope of Easter inspire us to work towards a sustainable and just world where all may thrive in harmony with nature. For families and communities, loving God, bless our families and communities with your presence and peace. Strengthen the bonds of love and fellowship among us, that we may support and encourage one another in faith. Help us to live out the values of Easter in our daily lives, showing kindness, forgiveness, and compassion to all. For hope and salvation, eternal God, we rejoice in the promise of Easter, that death has been defeated and new life is ours in Christ. Give us hearts full of hope and eyes fixed on the glory that awaits us. May we live each day with the assurance of our salvation, trusting in your unfailing love and grace. Today, as we speak of new life and the unconditional love Jesus showed us through his death and resurrection, I want to share a story that has special meaning on this day. I may have spoken of this story in the past, but it's a favorite, and it certainly fits on this special day. My lovely wife Julie and I attended a party last year, and the discussion turned to religion. Julie had related that she had been to several churches in different denominations in her lifetime and had finally found her true home at St. Stephen's. The friend asked her why she thought she needed to find religion. Julie's answer was simple. She said, "For me, it was all about finding love in the church and especially the love of Jesus. Of all the churches I have attended, I only found that love at St. Stephen's." The friend, who was a non-believer, had no reply. The Lord works in many ways. May these prayers unite our hearts in worship and praise on this Easter Sunday, and always as we say the prayer the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, we thank you for your faithful giving to the work and mission of Jesus Christ here at St. Stephen's. Would you pray with me over the gifts given this week? Like the disciples at Emmaus, we offer what we have. They offered their company, their table, their bread. We invite you to be with us, Jesus, as we offer you our love, our devotion, these gifts. May our eyes be opened to your holy presence among us, now and always. Amen.
Friends, go now as God's chosen witnesses to testify that Christ has been raised and that we are being raised with him. Do not look for him among the dead, but be glad and rejoice in the new creation life God is bringing. And may God raise you from all that would entomb you. May Christ Jesus call you by name and go ahead of you. And may the Holy Spirit empower you for all that is loving and good. Friends, go in peace. Go in the name of the risen one. Amen.